Hello and welcome back to the Not So Fit Couple podcast with your hosts Lucy Davis
and Benjamin Holden.
I'm actually really excited for today's episode. I feel like it's a topic we've never really spoke about because we haven't had the opportunity to speak about.
Obviously, it's very relevant because it's just finished, hasn't it? But before we get started, I just put these on before. I noticed you've got them on as well.
What? The clouds?
These people never stop asking about them on Instagram. They have changed my life, you know. My feet feel so much better in these than anything else. I go for walks in them as well. They were £9, these ones.
Mine are exactly the same. I can't get mine off my foot. Mine are identical to Ben's if you're looking on YouTube. And I paid £29.
I'm a size 9 men's UK and I have to get 44 to 45. I think they're in women's sizing.
Not women's sizing, it's European sizing.
It's a bit stranger.
European sizing, but they're really good. I think we recommended it to, well, we got them off your auntie, but Ben's sister does makeup and she stood on her feet for a lot of the day. So if you're stood on your feet for a lot of the day, it can really affect your ankles and your heels, can't it? So if you're onto like a soft cushion, my friend who's a physio has just got them as well. And honestly, yeah, because you're on your feet a lot of the day and the pain standing.
Do you know what they remind me of? Knockoff version of Yeezys.
This isn't an ad, by the way. This is just generally, we actually love them. Yeah, they are like £300 cheaper than the Yeezys. Yeah. And they look the same.
Yeah, they do. They are great, aren't they? Mm-hmm. I love them. They've changed. The other thing that me and Carl were speaking about this morning was the people's feet. So there's been a lot of stuff shown recently that, you know, because we wear trainers so much, that people's feet are getting squashed up. And the natural shape of your feet, there should be gaps in between your toes so that when we grip stuff, we plant our foot down, there should be a spread. Because we wear shoes so much and certain type of trainers are so tight, it's almost confining our feet all day long and making them misshaped to not how they're not supposed to be. Again, I just wear these all the time. They give my feet a lot more freedom as well.
Yeah, well, I have a toe that looks like a chicken drumstick, don't I?
Oh, yeah, it's not and the it's most appealing thing, to
the
be honest.
Most hideous thing. I always say to my mum, did you drop me as a child onto my toe?
How is that?
It absolutely, Kyle's pissing himself because actually looking at it now and it looks like a chicken drumstick.
Don't
it, like,
come in with
it hides under my other toe.
It's like, if you ever
I
seen,
need a metal rod in that one
have
day.
You ever seen scary movies? Like, that's my strong hand. It's like your
take
foot.
Your strong toe. Come on.
Nobody knows about the toe unless you go on holiday with me. But well,
now we all know. It's cracking open the monster. Do you know what is so weird as well? Black and blue monsters. Nowhere.
Yeah, there's obviously a shortage.
I don't know whether it's because of Brexit.
It's not because of Brexit. It's just the colour of them. That's not going to affect.
Of course it is, if it's import and they're not coming in.
So why couldn't they import all the other monsters?
You don't know where they're manufactured in different places. If you go to some countries in the world.
That's a new can.
What do you mean it's a
new can? Look at the front, that blue. Yeah. That zero sugar is new.
It's not. It's always been there.
Sorry, I don't
drink Monster. Don't argue me about my Monster. The only thing you can get now is multi-packs. The reason why I'm guessing that is because people are stingy as anything. So they won't get the ones. But if I see people in Tesco buying up the multi-packs now, I'm going to RKO the shit out of someone when I see them in Tesco, just to let you know about that. Because these are my life.
Gross.
Why is that gross? It's just me drinking a drink. It's human nature.
No, it's an actual phobia.
It's not gross, though, is it? Me taking a sip of my drink is not gross. That's a gross thing that happens in your life.
I hope there's someone else who is listening to the podcast and literally has to skip past that bit where Ben slurps.
I think I meet people today. Regardless, let's move on. This week, what have we done? We've done Liverpool Fitness Expo. We were speaking there
really
at the weekend.
Cool. Yeah, that was
good
really
event.
Fun.
It was the first fitness event I did in Liverpool. And it's the first event I've been to since COVID as well.
Yeah, I think we shone and all stuck out a little bit like a sore thumb. I don't know what the best way to phrase it is because it was a lot of bodybuilders and we're not bodybuilders and a lot of the questions that were thrown.
We just gave our opinion on is bodybuilding good or bad and obviously we gave our opinion on that and like I said in the post that I popped the other week, I don't think bodybuilding's bad, I think bad bodybuilding's bad, but also the thing that I was trying to get across to people in the audience was that what you are seeing on stage over there because there's a competition on is not normal, it's not healthy to be at that state, but those bodybuilders and those competitors aren't staying at those states all year round, which is what I suppose normal fitness folk perceive to be the norm and try and aim for that condition year round, which is really unhealthy. So it's all perception, the way we perceive things. But is bodybuilding healthy?
No.
Not for certain points.
Stepping on stage, I don't think it's healthy.
No, competitive bodybuilding isn't healthy, I wouldn't argue.
Mic drop.
Obviously a lot of PEDs in there as well.
I don't know what that is.
Performance enhancing drugs.
Oh yeah. But let's move on to today's topic. Oh, the other thing that
if you're listening to this, we'll also put in the link in the description. We sold out the barbell pads last week. They will be relaunching again on Fridays. This Friday, the
13th.
Oh.
I know, I said that in the email this morning. I was like, well, that's very unlucky, isn't it? 13th, yeah. Very unfortunate.
Good day to launch product.
Yeah, something's just like, maybe where all our product is stored, the whole thing is just going to set on fire.
But we have another import coming in because basically one was delayed. So we sold out the first lot last week and there'll be a waiting list you can join right now and you'll be first and notified on Friday when the new import comes in from China.
I don't think, yeah, okay.
Do you not get my impression of Donald Trump then?
Is that who you're trying to be?
Everybody says it on the news.
Yeah, I just wasn't acknowledging it.
The virus came from China.
He's fucking so rude. Like, why would you do that? What a prick.
But he's a very...
Yeah, but just to do stuff like that, it's just actually not okay.
He says some stupid shit, doesn't he? That's what he is.
Mm-hmm.
But today's episode... Are you giving the eyes? Today's episode, we're going to be talking about the Olympics and giving a bit of an overview of the good, the bad, the ugly, and all the things that sort of surrounded it. And me and Lucy have chosen specific topic points to touch.
Some what?
Different topic points.
I thought you went...
Topic points to touch on today. Me and Lucy have chosen specific. I've wanted to touch on a couple of bits which were to do in the build-up to the Olympics. I think with this Olympics, there's a lot of stuff that happened prior to it even starting that was very controversial, which was teeing us up to kind of a lot that could potentially unfold during the actual event. One of those things that I think we saw a lot of was, I think her name was Sha'Carri Richardson, who was the girl who tested positive for marijuana. Did you see that one?
Yeah, just before we dive into that, can we just say that definitely the Olympics this year was so special? Generally though, because after COVID...
It was a difficult Olympics.
I think a lot of people thought the games weren't going to happen. And what you notice with sport, because this was just after the Euros.
Yeah.
That brought England together after a really tough couple of years. And I think the Olympics this year did the same, especially for morale in sport. It was so high for GB. Everyone was buzzing, which I think is just a point that we have to make at the start, it was awesome.
When you look at two different events, I think the football brought more people together because of everyone that was watching it. And I think because it wasn't here as well. Which?
People couldn't fly and go and watch Tokyo, whereas a lot of people were watching the football. Well, that's actually a weird one. How could people can go to football stadiums and watch the Euros, but Tokyo didn't have audiences? Yeah, that's sad.
It depends if it's red or amber, green. And I'd argue that brought people together more because more people were watching it, maybe because that it wasn't on every single day. However, I also feel like you got a different type of fan watching it. Obviously, there was a lot of backlash from the football from idiots, hooligans, racists and stuff like that, which you didn't get with fans of the Olympics, which, again, was nice to see.
Yeah, definitely. I do wonder what the atmosphere would have been like. I think it would have been absolutely unreal. Imagine if those stadiums were filled.
Yeah,
it would have just been so ecstatic. Because you can imagine it's not the same.
The next one's in France. I really want to try and go to that, yeah.
Yeah.
Paris in France, but we'll try and book my tickets. I think you can do it this early.
I reckon you can literally do it 3 years out, you know.
I think you can. They don't know what the venues are. The capacity's going to be. They're not built yet.
No, that's true.
They're not going to be able to sell tickets yet until the
how exciting, the build,
but it'll be sick, that. But, yeah, Sha'Carri Richardson was the female, the 100-meter runner who tested positive for marijuana. There's obviously a lot of controversy over this because I believe that in her state it was
legal
to smoke weed, but in the IOC's eyes it was, and from WADA, it was not legal. The three reasons why they class weed as a drug, which is completely ruled out, that there's three things they go through. Does it possess health risks to athletes? I think they said, yeah, obviously it does. Does it enhance performance? Obviously not. If anything, it would make it slower. And the third one, does it violate the spirit of the sport? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the thing, because people were drawing back to conclusions. Do you remember Michael Phelps did it when he said a big bong and he was sitting there, I think with like a bowl of cornflakes, just chonging on it?
I remember that going around because I think I still swam at the time, but hadn't he quit? He finished.
No, he hadn't. I don't think he quit.
I thought he'd finished.
No, there was talks about him getting a ban, and I don't think he got as big of a ban as she did. However, I think her ban got reduced to 30 days because she did some rehabilitation thing or something.
Was she actually smoking weed or was it like CBD?
No, it was weed, yeah.
Okay, it's a bit different, isn't it?
It is different than just having CBD.
It's
within the Olympics rule, which is why it's a bit stupid to do it, especially when you know that you're one of the fastest female Olympians on the track.
Yeah.
However, I think I was pulling some stuff up, and what she said was that she apologised on air on the Today Show, and she explained why she smoked the marijuana, saying she used it as a coping mechanism. After a reporter, who she described as a complete stranger, told her that her biological mother had died.
Was that true?
I think her mum had died and she'd only just got told about it. And I think there's a bit of shock or something around it. And that's the reason why she was smoking weed to calm her down at that time period.
That's sad.
Obviously, that's what we know, that in respect to medicine, a lot of people, and it's issued weed as a drug to calm people down, help with anxiety and stress. So you can see why, if it was that circumstances, she may have used it.
It's obviously hard though, isn't it? Because she's taken it off of her own back. It's not been clinically prescribed to her.
It's legal in her state, so she's thinking.
Yeah.
But you need to know what the rules are, obviously, especially when you're just about to go to the Olympics. It's a bit... Well, to be fair, I think she was smoking it during qualifying.
Yeah. It's a really hard one because... She's probably not even been thinking straight at the time. If she's received some horrible news and then her automatic response has kind of been like, oh, shit. And she's done that. But yeah, the thing with like drugs, it is drug. The thing with drugs.
Obviously, there's mass stuff about legalizing weed though, isn't there? Which is...
Yeah. The things with drugs and things like that at the Olympics... You get drug tested so often in the UK. I don't know if it's a worldwide thing, but you have something called 100% me, and you have to log constantly what you're taking. If you're taking new medicine, they come and check up at your house at random times. So there must be something similar in the US.
Harry, when I went down to see Harry Aikens, obviously he wasn't in this Olympics this year because he's done his hamstring, which he was really good about speaking to him on WhatsApp the other day, and he was devastated when he was watching it. Because I think he was in good running, because I think he won the British champs as well, which was leaving him good sort of foundations for the Olympics as well. And he'd been training hard, but he was saying he always has to update the app of where he is. If he's staying at hotels, if he's going to Loughborough, if he's going somewhere else, because he could then turn up and be tested at any time. I think they get three strikes, and if they're not there, it's...
So heavy that, isn't it? Imagine if you just kind of like...
It's like being a kid again, when you're telling your mum where you're all the time. Mum, will be back at 10 o'clock.
Yeah. Yeah, stressful.
The other thing is, it's funny this, but we're talking about legalising weed. When I was starting my recruitment for the police, we had to stand up in the room and give a presentation. I think I gave my presentation on something to do with health and fitness and getting people moving and why movement was good for mental health.
A good presentation.
Solid presentation. That's a solid topic. Going into the
solid
police.
Solid topic.
Mental health, good physical fitness.
Yeah, get on the good side.
Yeah, get on the good side of the instructor. The guy after me, I always thought he was a bit shady, a bit weird, a bit creepy, and he always smelled a little bit as well. Not the ideal candidate, but he got up and gave a presentation. Bear in mind, this is in the police recruitment part. We had already been passed, and we just had to get through this.
So he had passed.
We were in the training at this point, right? We're middle of the training. We've gotten through half it, so a couple of months. He gets up and gives a presentation about how weed should be legalised. We were all just sat there like, is he fucking high?
Do you know what? Even if he thinks that, and a lot of people agree with him, you don't do your police presentation on it. You just,
it's not
if
the
there's
ideal
one thing,
it
it's
it?
Just not, is it? Or the chief of police just thinking, yeah, maybe he's not the right kind of guy. He'd go and arrest someone for having weed and he'd take it back for himself.
Yeah. He obviously loved Chongqing because you could see it in his eyes. But I don't know. I think there's a lot of benefits to weed. I don't know enough about it to say it should be legalized, but there seems to be a lot of evidence supporting the fact that it does a lot for people's mental health. So,
well, there's been a massive rise on CBD, hasn't there? And that is it CBD means cannabis?
Yeah.
Drops. Cannabis.
Cannabis, yeah.
What's the D for? Drops.
No, CBD is an acronym used for cannabidiol, which is an
cannabidiol.
Yeah, it's one of the active ingredients in marijuana, but it's not THC. So it's
CBD.
THC is what gives you the high, CBD is.
Yeah, so it's a basically, I was just talking about the exact name of it. It's non-psychoactive either, so it doesn't give you those sort of drowsy high effects that cannabis will give you. So
it's a bit purer.
It's from the same plant, but a different part of the plant, and it doesn't give you those psychoactive feelings. It helps, still helps with stress, helps with sleep, helps with recovery of different types as well. So I'm taking CBD at the moment. I'm not saying what brand it is because I'm doing a 2-week trial to see what it's like before I even tell anyone about it, because I've been one of those people who didn't want to like CBD, but I found myself liking it. And I'm taking it in tablet form because by taking it in liquid form, it's believed that it doesn't absorb properly and you only potentially absorb 60%. Just because it doesn't do well in heat. So obviously your mouth's quite warm. That's why when they're saying when people bake CBD and other stuff and eat it, it doesn't work as well because natural light and heat destroys it or sort of dampens the effect of it. And the other way that people use it is by doing it on rubs as well. Mm-hmm. Apparently the rubs work, but apparently not as well. So the ones that I'm taking at the moment, we've got this special capsule in it, which helps it get through the digestive system because you want it to get to the liver or intestine, and then that's when the droplets come out and form and you get the proper hit of CBD. So I'm doing it at the moment. I've just gone up to 30 milligrams per day and I'm just starting to see the effects of it now, I think. So I've been monitoring my blood pressure, my recovery, my performance in the gym, how my sleep's been. I'm going to put a post up on in the next couple of weeks and probably a YouTube video just to give my thoughts on CBD.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's well important what you said there, like you're actually trialing something for like 2-3 weeks before even telling anyone about it. You can't just have one drop or one tablet and be like, whoa, yeah, feel incredible. And it's the same with all supplements, and you can't just have one. Have a bit of vitamin C.
Placebo is a big thing for a lot of people.
Yeah, definitely.
This Richardson though as well. So she got banned and she couldn't run the 100 meters because the band stretched up to in the middle of the Olympics. But she actually could have ran the 4x1 because the 4x1 was...
It was last, wasn't it?
It was like a week or two later from a main event. So the ban was up then, but they still decided not to take her.
Oh.
I think potentially maybe it was in spirit of the US team and it sort of clouding the reputation of the US Olympic team.
Yeah, which is fair enough. That's the decision that they personally made.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The other one that I just want to quickly touch on, we all know about, was the... in the build-up to the Olympics, the trans athlete.
They've come out with a statement, haven't they?
What was that?
Isn't it saying that they think they should now have a category? Have I made that up? I reposted it, I think.
I said it was a bit of a circus because they don't know what that's going to do. Yeah, they don't know whether they're going to take it out of the women's categories. They don't know if it's going to be their own category. It's a big sort of mess, I think, at the moment, and there's a lot of to and fro in with it, but they don't know what's going to go on. Obviously, what we can say was that it was a historic moment in the Olympics to have a trans athlete. I mean, I don't agree with it. I don't agree with trans athletes being in female sport, women's sport, because I just think it's going to destroy it completely. And I think what a lot of people have said with this is that, she didn't register a lift. Didn't register a single lift in the Olympics. And that's why people were like, well, obviously it's not that much of an issue. The thing with Laurel Hubbard is, yes, she didn't register a lift.
What does that mean, she didn't register for the weight she was supposed to lift?
Yeah, none of them, she didn't lift.
Why didn't she just lift something lighter?
Because she wouldn't have been stand anywhere near where she needed to be in the competition.
So there was people who lifted heavier than what she lifted?
Yeah, and completed the lifts.
Okay.
So this is sort of the other argument I was coming from, it saying, well, obviously it's not that much of an issue then if she didn't even register a lift and other females beat her. The thing that we've got to remember is Laurel Hubbard is the third oldest Olympian to ever compete in weightlifting. The second thing is she sustained an injury in 2018, which they thought was going to completely finish her career. So what you've got is a female who has been injured and come back from a really serious injury, which is going to have an impact on performance. And she is very, very much past her peak performance. Imagine in the next Olympics, they allow trans athletes to come into the women's category. It's a 25-year-old who's never been injured at absolute pinnacle of performance with those higher testosterone levels.
I think also what you have to take into consideration for her is she's probably dealt with a lot of hate.
This is what I don't agree with.
And mental health issues. And I absolutely don't agree with that. So she was probably struggling behind closed doors when everything came up in the media, and she's probably thinking, oh my God. So she's not only dealing with the stress of an injury and things like that and competing, it's the backlash from the media.
This is the bit that I don't agree with. I agree, and I am 100% against trans athletes competing in the women's category. I think the potential, I don't know what the answer is, whether they should create their own category. What I don't agree with is people taking that disagreement or that anger that has been sort of contributed from the IOC or the Olympic Committee and then targeting it towards her as a person. It has, yeah. It's not her fault directly. She's competing in a sport that she's loved all life, that she wants to do. She's been through the transformation and now she's doing what she wants to do and has been told that she can do that. I don't think she should suffer the brunt of it as a person, a human being. We shouldn't be doing that. We should be looking at the rules and regulations that the Olympic Committee have now brought in.
Well, yeah, she was essentially the scapegoat for the whole thing. And that's a really big shame. And I do agree that sports like Olympic weightlifting and boxing and things like that, like contact sports, there's not a level playing field.
Contact sports, because you're talking about, well, let's look at the 100 meters. There's 15-year-old kids in college level sprinting that are running faster times than the women's 100 meter world record. So I don't think it's going to do contact sports. Yeah. I think it's sports in general. And this was one of the guidelines that the Olympic Committee brought in. And they said, as long as they have declared their gender identity as female for at least 4 years and kept their testosterone level below 10 nanomoles per litre for at least 12 months, then they're okay. Now, according to the NHS, women's testosterone levels range between 0.7
and 2.8. 0.7
and 2.8. And they're saying as long as they have kept their testosterone levels below 10 nanomoles, females generally lie between 0.7 and 2.8.
Okay.
So that's way
it's significantly different.
Way higher.
And you know what? Women definitely have different levels of testosterone, and you can see people who build muscle quite quickly have a high level of testosterone. And people who maybe don't build as quickly would have lower levels of testosterone, but like natural levels. Mm-hmm. I would be probably quite curious to see what my natural levels are.
We can get your test done. I've just ordered another.
That'd be quite interesting.
I've just ordered another test now because I get my bloods done every 6 months. So I'll be getting mine done another couple of months just to see where mine currently are.
Yeah. I'm not massively bothered because it doesn't really affect me.
But why not? It's almost like having an MOT done. Like you get them done on your car yearly. Why would you not want to see what's going on with the inside of your body?
I have had that done before, but I don't think mine showed estrogen. What else did it show? Estrogen, lactic. I don't think mine even
Sometimes it gives another reading of available testosterone, which is a bit different.
Yeah, I think mine had that.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you can see what is in nanomoles or per decimal per litre. I think it's usually shown in. One of the big things to take away, Emily Campbell became the first female weightlifter to win a medal for Britain.
Yeah, she won silver, which is fucking sick.
Awesome. Yeah. The other thing from the Olympic weightlifting I just wanted to touch on as well is China's Lee lifted an Olympic record of 320 kilos to take the title.
That's unreal.
320 kilos she lifted altogether.
That's amazing.
Which is insane.
I definitely had a few highlights that I wanted to point out as well.
Okay.
Or did you have more?
Which?
I just meant highlights from like the whole games.
Yeah, I think we can obviously look at some of the highlights. I think that was just one of the ones that I wanted to touch on from Olympic weightlifting. The mad thing is though, there's a lot of sports in this Olympics that have been, I think, added in additionally. Yeah,
skateboarding. BMX.
Do you know what? Are we going to get to the point where bodybuilding's added into the Olympics?
No, I don't think so.
Imagine.
Well, this is the conversation we had because it's very subjective, isn't it? It's based on who's judging you. But then we also had the conversation, so is gymnastics and things like diving, for example. So I don't know. I don't think I'd want to see it in the Olympics.
The thing is, we know bodybuilding from any sport in the world is probably the biggest sport which has the consumption of performance enhancing drugs. It's only sport in the world I think it's really accepted where it's part of it.
And that really goes against the Olympics.
Unless you had natural athletes in it, which you'd have to have.
Yeah.
But then no one's asked about it. I don't think it'll ever be in there. But
imagine how
it'd be a logistical nightmare.
How much money they would have to spend on testing. For bodybuilding, it would seem like a waste of money because, as you said, a lot of people who step on stage do use PEDs, is that what they're called?
Yeah, PEDs, yeah.
PEDs. Yeah, I feel there was definitely so many highs of the Olympics this year. We were fourth on the medal table.
I think
it was US, Japan, no, the US, China, Japan, GB. Like, we were ahead of Australia and Russia, which is pretty phenomenal.
Well, the weird thing with Russia this year, it was ROC, wasn't it? The Russian Olympic Committee, because they got banned, which I thought was bullshit, by the way.
I just didn't even
Why were they allowed to compete under the... I think it was under the national flag or something different they were allowed to compete under, because obviously they got banned due to all that drug stuff from the... which was discovered by the documentary Invictus.
Yeah. That's a crazy. Great documentary, isn't
Very
it?
Very good.
But yeah, so I just had...
65 medals.
Is that what we had in total?
65 medals.
Yeah, I think US was something like 118, wasn't it?
Well...
Pretty crazy.
130 in the US had.
113.
We actually had more than Japan. We just had less gold. So we had 22 golds, 21 silver, 22 bronze.
I feel so proud for that because we watched the Olympic highlights quite a lot because we're super in tune with that and it was enjoyable to watch. So the first women's team for gymnastics claimed a medal since 1928. Georgia Taylor Brown got a silver in the women's triathlon and she got a flat tire on the last leg of her bike. And I used to swim with her at Manchester. She
oh,
used
really?
To pop in and do her swims.
She's now a cyclist.
She's a triathlete.
Ah, okay.
So she got silver. And then obviously you've got a guy called Tom Dean, who became the first British male swimmer to win more than one gold medal at a single Olympics in 113 years.
113 years.
So we got the 4x2 as well as winning the men's 200 in a new British record.
I thought that thingy Kenny won two golds. No.
Who? This was just for swimming.
Oh, okay.
In 113 years. And then obviously PT, he did incredible. He has the fastest 100-meter breaststroke time in history. He has the 16 quickest times in the world.
16?
Yeah. So he's done the quickest time under 57 seconds, and he has the world record. And then the last one, which is well exciting for me, was the mixed 4x100 medley. So that's when you have girls and guys competing in the same race.
Yeah, that was cool. They did a triathlon like that as well.
Yeah,
it was really cool.
Which I think is amazing. I think when I swam, I don't think that... I didn't do a mixed relay.
I think it was the first time they did it, wasn't it?
I don't know if they did it at the last Olympics or not. But they got a world record. And my friend Anna was the freestyle leg.
Great.
And that's just so cool.
She did the last leg.
She was the last leg.
She was getting chased down by that big American dude, wasn't it?
Aussie. The quickest...
I thought he was American.
I think he was Aussie. The quickest 100-meter freestyler. And she was like, oh my
Chasing
God.
Her down. Imagine that. Just fucking looking back and seeing that big walloper... coming after you.
Isn't that amazing though, putting like guys and girls together in the same race?
You don't do a mixed 4x100 meter relay, do they?
That was that.
Sprinting.
Athletics.
That'd be quite good to see as well, wouldn't it?
Athletics. What were you doing? What was I doing there?
Well, I mean,
I don't know. Yeah, that would be well cool.
I mean, I wonder
see.
How many more we'll see. We're just popping up with the triathlon and stuff as well. It was the first time there. I sat up and watched that till 1:30 in the morning.
The triathlon or the marathon?
The triathlon mixed one. It's really
That's
good.
So cool. I just think what a sick thing to introduce.
I think I don't know if it does, but I think when you're looking at inclusivity and equality of sport, I just think it's nice to see, instead of men and women always being pitted against each other, I think it was nice to see them doing something together.
Well, also, you've got to be a bit strategic. The way you organise the four people, like we had a girl first swimming, she was against seven guys.
She got a shit start, didn't
and
she?
And she was like, yeah.
She got a crap jump.
Well, all the guys were obviously a lot faster. And this is Kathleen. But then the way they worked, they had Pete and James Guy. And that, so
and
it was
like
just...
a sandwich, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that it's
super clever.
It's a mental thing, though, of starting the race off further back, which might be quite difficult.
Yeah,
when
definitely.
Pete got in the pool, but yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
It was the Olympics was the second most successful Olympics we've done. For Team GB.
For Team GB. What was London?
Rio.
Mm-hmm. Oh, London was two Olympics ago, wasn't it?
Nine years.
I lose track. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's freaking phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. We apparently were expected predictions to get 52 medals and 14 golds.
And we surpassed
it. 65 and 22 gold. So yeah, they surpassed it.
Do you know what's so crazy as well? I was trying to find it this morning when I was doing my show notes, but there was somebody who did a reel about COVID at the Olympics, like being in the Olympic Village,
yeah.
I think I showed you the video and I was gobsmacked in terms of they couldn't leave. They had to wear masks 24/7, only taken off when eating. They could walk literally 100 metres if they were chaperoned. COVID
chaperoned.
And they had to do COVID tests, I think, a couple of times a day.
Yeah, they couldn't hang around. Did you watch it? And the ceremony, there was hardly anyone there.
Yeah, well, everyone left.
Yeah, but they had to leave.
As in, they had to leave the country.
Yeah.
Which...
So the only athletes were there on the end of the last day were the ones who just competed.
And also probably the yeah, that's... You want to get into an athlete's head, don't you? And what it was like to be at that...
Yeah. We're going to have some athletes on.
We definitely are.
We're not going to say who it is or when it is, but we're going to have some Team GB athletes on over the next couple of weeks or months so we can pick up all their little brains and see what's going on within there.
Because I can't imagine when we used to go away on camps and stuff that you're so restricted as an athlete where usually sometimes you need your headspace. Mm-hmm. You want to go on a walk without a chaperone.
Well, I'm actually going to go into and talk about this now because it's quite interesting. But just firstly, before we do you know where most of the medals were won?
Which sport?
Yeah.
Wasn't swimming, wasn't athletics. Cycling?
Yes. 12 medals won in cycling.
Over here. 12? Mm.
That's what, because I think the cycling was last, and that's where we made up most of our medals.
Is this road cycling or velodrome cycling?
The velodrome, yeah.
We're pretty good at that, you know.
We're
very skilled at that, aren't we? There's a velodrome in Manchester.
We got 11 in athletics, triathlon, pentathlon. But obviously they're big events with loads of athletes, and cycling's just one. And then we also had 11 in the swimming and diving combined.
Yes. Diving was great. Oh, Tom Daly.
Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah, he got his first gold.
Yeah. So I know that you talked about the sort of getting inside the athlete's mindset and inside the head. Oh, that's very close. And it's something that we'll want to do with some of the athletes that we bring
you
on.
You just missed what I did then.
A little licky.
Licky.
You're such a child, aren't you? I think the big thing to take away from this Olympics was the... I can't remember what her first name is. Simone Biles, yeah.
Oh, the US gymnast.
The US gymnast who pulled out because of mental health. So she withdrew from the women's team final when she did a team event due to mental health reasons. And
the single.
Yeah, yeah. She was doing the team thing at the time, though.
Yeah.
There's that footage of where she's talking, everyone's saying, you've got this. I'm just not here at the moment. And she... did something, and then she suffered from something called the twisties, which is actually a mental condition in which gymnasts lose the sense of where their bodies are in midair. And she said you could see it in her eyes, she'd just gone.
Did she land?
I think so, yeah. I haven't seen the vault where she did it, but imagine that. You just fucking basically black out midair.
Yeah, dangerous that.
But she got some criticism and backlash from some people on social media.
Who need to grow the fuck up.
I think it's really, really, really good for the sport because she said afterwards, after the performance I did, I just didn't want to go on. I have to focus on my mental health. I just think mental health is more prevalent in sports right now. And for a lot of reasons, I think this is a good thing. She also went on to speak about mental health and the challenges facing top athletes in the world. And also she went on to say that she's potentially going to go through therapy, which I think is great for not just sport, but for everyone, for her to talk about that openly and talk about therapy and for then more people to be able to relate to that and potentially get help with mental issues that they're dealing with. And we obviously know there's a lot of pressure on top performing athletes and Olympians. So to get that from someone like her, I hopefully will help that in the future because I think it's one of those sort of sports and industries where you've got to push. Eventually, sometimes something may break, i.e. the mind. So it's something that we've got to be aware of. And I think the other thing is, do you know, just comparatively, if we're looking at it, she obviously stopped, didn't she?
Mm-hmm.
Quit, said, I'm not doing it. And she got slated a little bit on social media for it.
She got heavily slated.
Saying, oh, you shouldn't be in the team, you can't take it, blah, blah, blah. However... if we look at other athletes who pulled out due to physical injury, no one says anything to them. But with it being mental, just because you can't see it, people gave her a hard time because of it. And I would argue that dealing with those mental injuries or those mental health is a lot more difficult to deal with than a physical injury. But we don't moan at people who just don't go get back up and just carry on.
Well, it's so interesting that, because she literally said, I was just pulling up there about what you were speaking out, and she decided to pull out because she's dealing with things internally that will get fixed in the next couple of days. So she knew in her head, look, can't compete right now. Give me a few days and I'll probably be able to pull something out of the bag. But it was such a strong decision, because you had Justin Bieber put a post up about her. Like, everyone in America was posting and talking about her, because what a role model to be able to speak. I think she's quite young as well.
She's 26, I think.
26. To be able to speak up about it. And speak up about...
To be able to stand up and say no. Do you know if some of those coaches who's their lives to get competitive athletes there, they're very unforgiving towards athletes. Yeah. To stand up and say, no, I'm not doing it, is massive. Do you know what the other thing she did as well? Do you know what she said?
What?
In an interview a week before the Tokyo Games. She was asked to name the happiest moment of her career. Do you know what she said?
No, but I feel like it's going to be really sad.
Probably my time off.
Oh, that's awful.
I can see that though. I know people say, how can you complain about having that job? You do the best thing in the world. You represent your country. You get to do a sport that you love. It's like when people go on holiday and take time off from work. However, the pressure that is applied to these sort of athletes and these people is huge. There's no wonder when she gets a bit of time off to eat food she wants to eat, see friends, socialize, not train every single day, that she has the best times of her life when she's doing that. I can 100% relate to that.
Well, do you remember that documentary we watched on Netflix, Athlete A, about the US gymnastics team who
I'm about to come on to that.
Go ahead.
Basically, this is why people, when she pulled out due to her mental health reasons and people are moaning about it, when you understand this, you'd be like, fuck yeah. I can understand that. I can vibe with that. Because USA Gymnastics had looked the other way. At Lawrence G. Nasser, I think it was, that the physio guy, a long time national doctor for the USA.
He was like a physio team. As well, wasn't he?
Freak. Absolute freak. Yeah. Horrible man. And he molested hundreds of female athletes, including many of her teammates. And though it took time to realise, he actually molested Biles herself.
Mm-hmm.
So she was a part of that group who was molested. Imagine the long-term impacts that all that has on her.
Yeah.
On top of the pressure of gymnastics, on top of the pressure competing, on top of the fatigue, everything else. She was molested for years and never knew anything about it. And also, the other thing as well, she was in foster care as well.
Yeah, she was. Do you know what's another thing? When she was speaking out...
It's a fucking tough life.
Yeah, when she was speaking out about pulling out of specific events in the games, suddenly there was loads of articles that have been brought up from her past. Mm. And it's kind of like she's... That might not be the reason why she specifically pulled out of these ones, but everything was pulled up about her, and she was like, it's not, like, stop bringing up everything that's ever happened to me.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
If I got to that point where I was molested, I'd have been for all this, and I was
I'd
still
be
getting
like,
shit,
give me a break.
I'd be like, do you know what? Fuck it. I'm never doing it again. I'm going to do whatever I want to do. I'm sick of it. So the fact that she's still continued and been at this level is unbelievable.
Yeah, completely agree. She's awesome.
Yeah.
So, such a role model, not even just for gymnasts. For all round sport, fitness. You can correlate that to so many different parts. You don't have to be an Olympic athlete to appreciate that. She's a great role model for young women.
And the other thing that we saw a new 100 meter men's winner after Bolt successor, which was Lamont Jacobs. I think he was Italian.
What was his?
I think he was the first man to run under 10 seconds since Bolt. If I'm getting that correct, don't quote me on that. Not everything that we're saying in this podcast, by the way, is we can be held to accountable to, because it's just things that research that we've done. But there's a lot of sort of speculation about him. I'm going to tell you why. Because he's been apparently forced to split from his nutritionist following a police probe into steroid distribution or taking steroids. So there's been, the police are looking at his nutritionist because apparently he's been selling steroids. And then the Italian guy, Lamont, who actually won, is now being accused of it. And I'll tell you why, because according to the reports, he was the only one not tested from the Olympic final. The only athlete who wasn't tested.
That's weird in itself, isn't it?
Do you want to know why? Because his form was so shit in the build-up to the Olympics. Basically, he was running crap times. So they're like, yeah, it's no point in testing this dude because he's not going to come anywhere. And then his times dramatically increased over the next couple of weeks or months. And it's like, oh, fuck. He's now the fastest man in the world and we didn't test him.
Could they not test him after?
I think so. I think that's what they're looking at doing.
Yeah.
So the other things were like things that match up. Basically, he split from his nutritionist and his nutritionist looked into by the police for selling steroids. And he ditched his, I think his nutritionist was called Spazzini. And he's ditched them as a result of the allegations. And basically, his nutritionist was a professional bodybuilder. It's not fucking looking good for him, is it? I mean, when these calls start to stack up against you, I think you've got little leg to stand on, really.
Have you
seen him as well?
I've just been trying to pull up an image.
He doesn't look like a usual 100-meter sprinter.
Let me see.
If anyone's watching, if you go on the YouTube channel or whatever.
I think he looks like a sprinter. Oh, he looks a little bit more like a shot putter.
Yeah, he's quite built, but chunky. He's not lean.
Mm.
I mean, who are we to say what 100-meter sprinter should look like? But in comparison to the other ones, he just doesn't look.
Yeah, well, I actually was a sprinter yesterday, wasn't I? I trained like Usain Bolt for the day.
I was
like a sloth. Oh my god, that
video of you running the park is funny.
I know,
but he didn't even reach the finals in the World Championships in 2019. Didn't even reach the finals.
That's crazy. Yeah. I'd be really interested to see the results from that and see what the fact he's the only one out of the eight tested is a little bit sketchy.
And his nutritionist was distributing steroids. Hello.
Yeah, it's really. Oh, okay. Let's reevaluate that.
I think that's pretty shit. Is as well. He also ran in the 4x100 meters. So if he comes out of being accused of steroids,
I don't know if they
podiumed for that one. I'm not too sure. But if they did, then they're potentially going to be stripped of the medal because of him as well.
I don't think they did podium for that.
Didn't.
What country was it again?
Italy.
I don't think they did.
I'm not too sure.
It was GB, America. I think. Jamaica?
Was it? I'd imagine they'd be up there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think there's something about a Jamaican female runner as well who got banned.
I was just looking at it then. I don't think it was a guy. It's Kenyan's Mark Atinio. 100-meter sprinter has tested positive for a banned substance. Team Kenya said in a statement and will not take part in the Olympic qualifying heats on Saturday.
Really?
So he had posted a personal best of 10.05. Finished second at the national trials last month, but he just tested positive for a banned substance. So, what are you going to do about that? Shouldn't have been doing it.
Well, I know. I'm just looking for my phone here because there was. Where's it gone? There's another athlete who got done for doping. I actually can't find it now.
We'll just leave it.
I've got it. So, this one was calcium. This one, yes. It was a Nordic skiing. Blood doping scandal.
Skiing? They've not even done the Winter Olympics.
Oh, this was in 2019.
I was going to say.
So this one, he got done for blood doping. He was in the middle of doping. So this is the video. I'll get Cal to put up on the YouTube so you guys can see it. He's basically in the room doing the doping in the morning. The police raid his room and he's got to finish off doing the doping on the video before they can stop. And five other guys got done for it as well. How crazy is that?
Is he a skier?
He's
a downhill skier.
So the police are going, boom, busted through the door. What the fuck's going on in here?
He's sat there.
He's in the middle. He's like, I'm fucked.
Well, you can't do anything about it. Throwing
the white towel, mate, my life's done.
So that's a blood transfusion, isn't it? So he can't just pull it out.
So basically he's getting blood.
He's getting blood from someone else. Yeah, oh my God.
All the stuff that Lance Armstrong got done for.
I just can't imagine that situation.
What would you do?
You'd be like, yeah, sorry, I've been doping.
It's not actually what it looks like.
It's cranberry juice. I'll drink it. Oh my God, that is crazy. I love the Winter Olympics. I'm so excited.
I always wonder how much more stuff is going to come out about other athletes as the technology improves to test people, because they're testing people from like 10-20 they're bringing in lab results from 10-20 years ago that they froze and looking over stuff, and that's why people are getting
metal strips.
Yeah,
yeah, that's really heavy.
I always wonder what would happen if one year they went, do you know what, should we just let everyone take steroids? Imagine what the times would be.
No, you couldn't do that.
Imagine that. It'd be like the hop, skip, and where the fuck's he gone?
Trip.
Because he'd just be gone. You wouldn't even see him. Boom, off the screen, gone.
Yeah. But they obviously would never do that and could never, because imagine, all the previous world records would probably get right, broken, and it's size, so biased.
Yeah, look at the size of someone already. Imagine them. It would be like mutants running down the track, wouldn't it?
Do you know the meme that I've been seeing floating around? It's saying, imagine if people, like, you and me, Cal, normal people just got letters through the post saying you've qualified for this year's Olympics in gymnastics and you just have to go and perform.
That would be awesome.
Imagine, like, if I got, like, a horse one, like, equestrian.
Like you get when you get summoned to court and it's like, you are now.
You are now.
On the jury.
Like Ben Howden, you're now entered into the men's 10-metre diving.
No, imagine if they did it. They did it. Okay, this is what it's like. You remember Hunger Games, where they get the draw out of the thing and go, you, Candice Debardeen, or whatever, and you had to go and do the Olympics. You weren't killing each other, but you had to go and do the Olympics and do other stuff. That would be sick. Yeah. Imagine it.
I know. Ben, there's a lot of memes.
You are going in to do figure skating, imagine. I'd be fucked. Figure skating. You're going to do diving. Hate swimming, mate. Yeah,
you'd dive off and not come back up.
Yeah, I'd be dead. I'd just sink to the bottom.
If you had to pick a worse sport to do at the Olympics.
Swimming.
Really?
Come swim.
Yeah,
I bet. Is there any swimming events where you just do one length?
Yeah, 50 metres.
I'd do that.
Yeah, okay.
I'd come last, but I'd do that.
My worst would be equestrian.
What's that?
Sitting on a horse where the horse kind of...
Yeah, you hate horses, don't you?
The horse kind of... does it dance? I don't actually...
Does it dance? No, does it, what a question no, that is. No, does a horse dance? You do ask some questions, you know, sometimes. No, 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 and honestly, she asked a question before we started the podcast and said, Ben, do you think I need a wee? How the hell am I supposed to know that? How am I supposed to know when your body requires to release your bladder?
Okay, here we go. Equestrian, commonly known as horse riding or horseback riding, includes the disciplines of riding, driving, and vaulting. Oh, okay, so it's just riding a horse. Dressage.
Yeah.
Okay, equestrian is not, I could not sit on a horse and make it jump over things.
I don't think it'll work. I mean, pole vaulting wouldn't be very good for me because I'm quite heavy.
You might snap the pole.
Yeah. Not like the probably one of the worst ones would be triathlon as well, just because I couldn't swim that far.
Oh, I really want to enter.
I would
triathlon.
Love to do it. I'd have to do a non-swim triathlon because I couldn't swim. Swimming, you can't
so that's
do it.
It's just like a bike and a run.
Yeah,
it's not even an event.
There is a non-swim triathlon, I think.
It's called duathlon. Like a biathlon, wouldn't it?
It's not a dual. I'm sure.
Bicep two, try two.
I don't know.
Three.
But that's what I'd have to do.
Anyway, sorry. Yeah, how hilarious would it be if you entered that?
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
The other thing. Away. Oh, my laptop is about to go off.
As always.
I apologise. The other thing that I want to quickly touch on. Thank you. The other thing that I want to quickly touch on, which is quite interesting, which is actually very interesting, is the economic impact that the Tokyo Olympics had. Mm-hmm. You'll be surprised.
Well, I've pulled up the exact same stats, so I might not be surprised.
Did you watch some of the sort of B-roll shots and the shots of Tokyo when they were sort of panning around the Olympic village and stuff?
Not really,
It
no.
was incredible. Tokyo is an incredible...
Oh, sorry,
to
yeah.
Go to Tokyo. The skyscrapers, the skylights, the technology. It was just insane. But they firstly looked at, and when they put the bid in for the Olympic Games to be in Tokyo, they estimated that it would cost about 7.5 billion to sort of facilitate.
Mm.
And that went up by 70%.
It was 15 billion, wasn't it?
Nope, more than that. It was the most expensive Olympic Games ever.
Really?
Yeah. So Rio cost 20 billion.
Oh my God, that's extortionate.
20 billion Rio cost. And have you seen the Olympic stadiums now, by the way, post-Olympics in Rio?
Yeah, they look like they're out of like
yeah,
a
Yeah, they've been neglected.
Movie.
They've all, the shit all, they've been left to just completely deteriorate.
That's where London did so well.
Some of the stadiums they built there weren't actually supposed to last post
Olympics. No, it's just like scaffolding.
They were supposed to be taken down, they just left them. Yeah. And this was the issue with having the Olympic Games in a place of poverty, because they didn't have
the
support afterwards to be able to continue to facilitate what they'd built. Which is sad, really. But Tokyo was the most expensive Olympics ever. And do you know what? Do you know what it cost just to build the venues? $7.5 billion. So the whole cost they thought it was going to cost to kind of facilitate the Olympics being in Tokyo, they spent just on stadiums.
Where did they pull this money from?
Where did it come from? I don't know. I don't know where they get the
tax.
It must be tax government. I don't know. I should have looked into that really.
How much, sorry, was it in total for Tokyo?
I haven't given the number yet. What do you think it was?
Well, if Rio was 20, I'm assuming 30?
26 billion.
Yeah, a bit high.
26 billion when you thought it was going to be 7.4 is some way off the marker.
Well,
whoever's estimated that is out of a job.
Yeah, they've been fired.
The one of the stadiums, you know, the main stadium where the Olympics was in, cost 1.4 billion to build. And they redesigned it twice. Yeah, I think they had an Indian designer who did it all, and they were like, we're not paying that. So then they got this Japanese guy in, and it was like, yeah, I'll do something else. And they saved 0.6 billion off it. But still, it's a big, big, big cost. Basically, the Olympics is full of mini projects and mini project designers. So there's hundreds of projects that go on inside the Olympics, different buildings, the event organization, how things are going to run the day. There's loads of projects that run there. Not one single project that they did ran on budget. Not one.
It's hard because do you say it's poor organization or do you say it's due to the lack of tourists actually being in Tokyo
I'm going to give you that now. So they also built 21 buildings in the Olympic Village, and that was for hotels, people to stay, because generally after the Olympics, there's a big uptake in people who buy in that area as well. So $2 billion was spent on
the area.
Surrounding area. And obviously no one was staying in them because there's no tourism, there's no one over there, there's no spectators. And obviously what usually makes up some of the money is ticket sales. But because there was no one able to go over there because of COVID, do you know what they actually lost on ticket sales? It was only 850 million. So they wouldn't have even made £1 billion back though from just ticket sales. Obviously though, what's not potentially counted on top of that is revenue from tourism, people spending money in restaurants, in hotels, athletes spending money on food and other stuff, potential income that comes in post-Olympics, the travel, all that sort of stuff which would have added up. So they estimated due to the Olympics being pushed back in respect to dates and the cost of ticket sales, the Olympics cost an extra $2.5 billion due to COVID.
Well, it actually says here, in terms of COVID as well, analysts have said that there is little reason to celebrate the Games. And they say the Olympics has only worsened Japan's COVID-19 outbreak and left its taxpayers saddled with a $15 billion. $15 billion bill, even as the Olympic Committee raked in billions from broadcasting rights. Mm-hmm. So essentially, there's been absolutely no benefit for the people of Tokyo.
They're talking about this now and how they
for everyday working people.
How they make the Olympics beneficial for countries who put bids in, because there's been a lot of countries recently that are pulling out of putting bids in because of this economic impact it has. Which is scary, really, because you always think that the Olympics would benefit. Obviously, it benefits the nation because they all get to sit in the country, but the financial impact is sometimes not what they would tend to expect it to be. Especially with Tokyo. I mean, that was the most expensive Olympics ever. Rio was miles above anything before that. So
I think one of the most successful games, London, was incredible.
Yeah, I don't London know what the economic impact that was.
No, I don't, but I went down to see the London Olympics, and it was just... I swam in the pool and stuff pre-Olympics.
Did you?
And it was epic. And they've still got that there now. They've got like the velodrome.
What was the swimming area they built? What court has that got on here?
It was just the Olympic Village. It was next to the velodrome.
They call the velodrome something, not call the swimming arena something.
I don't know. It's just the aquatics. London Aquatics Centre. It's still there now, but what they basically did, they built the stands well high. Like if you fall off those stands, you're literally dead. But after the Olympics, instead of like knocking down the whole pool, they just took off some of the top stands and still have it there. Accessible. Made it more accessible. Yeah. What a great thing to do. Well done,
London. That's what you're supposed to do. Obviously, they sold one of the stadiums to West Ham, I think it was. They took the
Olympics. Was it? Yeah.
And they built a football pitch on it, which a lot of people moaned about.
We don't have the stats for London, but maybe we're biased because we're also British. But I do think that was an awesome Games.
It was an awesome Games. I mean, there's so much more that went on inside the Olympics as well. We just wanted to touch on some of the... topics which were sort of newsworthy that we heard a lot about, and we just wanted to dig into those a little bit more, because the Olympics is a great thing, and I mean I watched a lot of it, even though we weren't able to stay up and watch it because it was past my bedtime.
Well, I think they did so well this year on the highlights. You know,
yeah, it was on all day. It's cool, yeah.
It was on all day. It was highlighting the best bits and things like that, which is pretty great. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it a lot.
I think the thing that I'm looking forward to now is just digging into the mindset of some of the Olympians who were there and some of Team GB. So over the next couple of weeks, hopefully we'll have a couple of the athletes on from Team GB to be able to dissect, not physically dissect, psychologically and mentally dissect. Mm. That'd be a bit weird. We started chopping people up on the podcast, but I'm looking forward to doing that anyway. It'd be good.
Yeah, it's so different. It will be so different, sorry, to hear their perspective. Mm. We're a complete outside perspective on the games and looking in. So actually to get someone who was in Tokyo, what they experienced, the Olympic Village, their sport, the events, the mindset behind being an Olympic athlete is super exciting.
Yes, I'm quite happy with that.
Yeah, I am. That was awesome. I got really involved in that podcast as well. There's just a lot to discuss.
Yeah, I mean, there's loads of other things that happened. And I think the main thing is it was a very successful Olympics for Team GB, and massively proud of all the athletes that competed for GB.
Yeah, proud to be British.
Yeah.
Reminds me of fish and chips, but that's okay.
First Olympics you've ever had to battle with such conditions in the middle of a pandemic is... For them to pull it off was awesome, and apparently there wasn't that much of a spread of COVID in comparison to what they thought it was going to be. It was very, 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 very limited.
Yeah, and I think if there was cases or if athletes had COVID or anyone there, they were instantly taken away from the village and isolated. Well. So yeah, hats off. Like, I can imagine it would have been... Imagine if you were the event organizer for Tokyo. You'd just be like, see ya.
What do you mean you're getting sacked?
You just... No, you'd just be really quite stressed throughout the whole thing.
The thing is, this is what also cost them, by the way, is they had to hire an extra 400 doctors and GPs and paramedics because of all the stuff that was going on.
Yeah.
Obviously, imagine all the testing on top of that, how much it's cost.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, definitely. Well. But we really hope you enjoyed today's podcast, guys. Don't forget, if you are not subscribed to the YouTuber channel,
please
head over.
The reason why you should subscribe to the YouTube channel as well is because we're going to be having some awesome guests, and I think it's always good that you can see the guests interacting with us and seeing that social element to it. And we're going to be pulling more guests on over the next couple of months as well, which will be really, really cool. We've got some big ones in the bag. Speaking of guests, who's on next week?
We've already filmed it. Yeah. Emma, ESG Fitness.
Yes.
Well, so excited.
Emma Story Gordon, we recorded a podcast with her last week, and that is going to be going up next Wednesday, which is a really, really cool episode. Again, it's quite a long one. It's 2 hours. So get on the YouTube channel, watch it. We were in a different podcast studio for that as well. So it is well worth a listen. We talked about a couple of different topics in respect to female equality in sport, female equality in general.
In general.
And we talk relationships, is bodybuilding healthy?
Yep. How people suddenly, that whole conversation we had, I don't know how you actually describe it, where they bitch about you a few years ago and then they want to be your best friend. We went into actually we went into a lot of deep topics, so it's a fantastic listen. And make sure, as always, guys, you're sharing the podcast, tagging us. We love to see it. It's so exciting when you're out getting your steps or whatever you're doing. And as always, we will catch you in next week's episode.
Bye, guys.
Bye.